morning. It is Sunday, November 22nd. This is the first episode of the Hard Questions Only podcast. If you are interested in a little bit of backstory on who I am or why I set out on this endeavor, then I would suggest you listen to the show introduction, which is just a few minutes long. But otherwise, let's just jump right into it. This week has been eventful, to say the least. All kinds of things going on, the usual suspects like, COVID and the election. And now we have some more stuff sprinkled on top of that yesterday, namely Kyle Rittenhouse's, release from jail after posting, a $2 million bond. And the usual people are saying the usual things, which is that it's incredible that, people will so readily support a, quote, murderer. And it just seems, right off the bat, it seems really lazy that people will always just, misuse terms. Like, murderer, obviously in this context, people are using it to define someone who kills another human being, in any context, which, if that's how you're going to define murder in this instance, then yes, Kyle Rittenhouse is a murderer, but that's not the definition that matters, obviously. Murder is going to be defined in a court of law, as most people know, is something that is intentional and or premeditated, and it doesn't apply to self-defense cases, which I'm sure is one he will be utilizing. And then there's, of course, people on the right, and including some elected officials I saw, which was very surprising, saying, they want Kyle Rittenhouse for Congress, which is pretty crazy. And I'm willing to bet that almost nobody is going to parse the multiple things that are going on with him, and namely with, the situation in question, which is that, one, he seems to have broken several laws by crossing state lines with a weapon he was not legally allowed to have on either on his person or own at all. I'm not sure on the laws on the state he's from, but he was definitely 17, so he may be able to own it, but he can't walk around in public with it that I know of. I am a pretty staunch 2A supporter, but I do not like people breaking what I believe to be reasonable laws, i.e. wielding a firearm, and being underage, and also going to a protest seemingly, with the intention of intimidating people. It would be a very different story if you have a business owner, downtown in some city, and he is standing outside his business with a rifle in order to protect his life and his property. But if you travel out of state with a rifle to a protest, and I know looks aren't everything, but it looks like you're going there to, with the intention of using that rifle to some degree, at the very least, to intimidate people. So that looks bad. That makes his, intent look shady as fuck, obviously. But I'm willing to bet a lot of people are not going to bother parsing, on other sides of the aisle, parsing that probably breaking the law while traveling with a rifle, and also the fact that he seems to have been acting in self-defense, after being pushed to the ground or otherwise finding himself on the ground, and then someone is beating him with what I believe is a skateboard, I'm not sure. And him shooting that person in what appears to be self-defense. No one's going to separate those two issues. Not sure what he will be tried for. I would assume it's manslaughter or murder or something like that. Again, I'm not a lawyer. But he very well could be found not guilty of murder, but also found guilty of some other felony like, crossing state lines with an illegal firearm. Which I would be fine with, and obviously don't know, well, that seems pretty cut and dried, but I don't know how, the a murder case would play out or a manslaughter case would play out. I don't, I'm not a lawyer, not a cop, not a gun law specialist. So, but it will be incendiary in all of the same lowbrow ways that gun talks usually are, which is either on the right, I don't want to make blanket statements, but a lot of people are just like, yeah, shoot commies. Obviously, I don't agree with that sentiment, especially in these kinds of contexts, or just, unapologetically wielding a firearm and, shall not be infringed type people. On the other side is just, well, we got a white man with a gun shooting people with impunity, and now he's out on bail and he's a fucking murderer. So both of those arguments seem very like lazy to me, and I don't think anyone will be anywhere in between those two, just because it's not profitable, doesn't get the clicks. But his trial progression will be interesting to watch nonetheless. It was especially funny because when it came out that a large portion of his bail was funded by, I guess, the MyPillow CEO, that started trending on Twitter, and people are calling him the usual names. And it just went downhill very fast because I feel like there's two things, abortion and gun control, that people... I mean, it's the same thing it always is, which is unnuanced opinions, but with those two, both sides become especially rabid, and it never goes anywhere, and people know it because, they just want to, they're not in the business of finding answers. They're in the business of keeping the other side quiet because they're not good at arguing. And then, of course, the election still going. I see a lot of people making very very specific arguments about all of these legal proceedings and court cases that Trump's lawyers have brought up in court, and how some of them have been dismissed, and some of the mainstream media has been a little misleading about what portions of them are dismissed or which ones are dismissed in their entirety or not. It's not looking... I don't think it's looking good for Trump. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm not a Trump fan. I would say the same thing about this that I said about all of this Russiagate business that went on for years, which is that, hey, if you got proof, show it. You can have your day in court. And even though Mueller found nothing and none of that was substantiated, all of that Russia meddling talk went on for a long time without any substantiating evidence. And now Trump, whether he has evidence or his claims are substantiated or not, wants his day in court, and people are like, nah, bro, unity, you need to concede and give up and, drink the Biden Kool-Aid. And I haven't looked very deeply into these cases and all of these alleged affidavits from people about how they witness voter fraud in some capacity or other. But, everyone gets their day in court. That doesn't mean that it's going to go well for them, but they get that at the very least. So if Trump wants to go to court, be my guest, and whatever happens, happens. But you can't rattle off for several years about Russia and then say that, well, there's absolutely no evidence of voter fraud, therefore you don't get the opportunity to fight this stuff. Like, that is patently hypocritical. But, it seems par for the course. And I was thinking the other day about how I saw a bunch of Twitter threads about how Biden's supposed or potential nominations for his cabinet are allegedly just a bunch of Washington insiders and former lobbyists and basically just run-of-the-mill establishmentarians that have always comprised cabinets in both Republican and Democratic presidencies. I think a lot of people would agree that Biden is pretty establishment. I don't see a lot of leftists or Democrats having much complaint about it, because I think a very, very large portion of people voted against Trump rather than for Biden. And, you know, it comes out the same way, but I don't think anyone is especially enthusiastic about Biden. He's just another old white guy who thinks he has the answers, and he probably can't even use a smartphone. You know, and I get that people want something that's predictable and isn't going to cause a ruckus on Twitter every 3 days and isn't going to cause, you know, international storms and all of this. But I think that he will ride that wave. If I had to bet, I would say he's going to ride that wave for 4 years. And all of the issues that Trump, you know, may or may not have caused, it will definitely be alleged that he caused them. I don't think Biden will fix any of those because they're, quote, you know, too complicated and take more than one term to sort out. And, you know, that'll give him a jumping off point for a second term. And people won't be disappointed in him for not completing those things, because they're all just going to convince themselves that those problems are too complicated for one or even two presidencies. They'll claim that it will take decades to fix, and he'll just coast for 4 years and not make any waves, not do anything particularly good or bad, except probably go back overseas, even though Trump seems to be trying to bring people back, which has been a whole other thing, which is kind of hilarious to me. Which I don't, honestly, you know, frankly, I don't have a lot of insight on that. I have deployed. It was not a combat deployment, but I have spent a little time in the Middle East. Not in Iraq or Afghanistan, admittedly, but I have been over there. And the fact that so many Democrats are suddenly screaming about how that could be dangerous and cost American lives seems almost funny to me, if it wasn't so darkly manipulative. Because we've been in these countries for, you know, going on 20 years now, and people who serve now have kids who are serving, and that just seems all kinds of fucked to me. And I think it's time to cut the cord, and it was time to cut the cord a while ago. Which all of these, you know, Democrats and establishment people crying out about how this is going to be dangerous just kind of, you know, sends the nail home that this is just another face of the establishment, basically. Like, you know, classically the Republicans are the war hawks and Democrats are always holding them back, but I don't think that's the case. I think that has frequently not been the case, and I think that will continue to not be the case. Because war, you know, benefits a lot of people. A lot of people profit from it. The good old military-industrial complex. And so there's a lot of motivation to keep that train rolling. But yeah, I don't think Biden is going to do anything noteworthy, which is, you know, it could be worse. He could be an awful president and, you know, be an ass and not do anything for people or the country or whatever. But it's becoming a tired play of just bouncing everything being compared to Trump. Like, we need someone that's not Trump. We need something that's not Trump policy. It's low effort, in my opinion. And I've been reading some things about how people should think twice before going home for Thanksgiving. That's exactly where I am right now. I'm with my wonderful in-laws in North Florida, and my wife and my dog, is currently wanting to go outside. And I've seen quite a few mainstream media articles about how people should think twice and doing a little fear-mongering about how just because you got a negative COVID test doesn't mean you don't have it. Even though 5 seconds ago we were pushing everyone to get tested and that seemed to be conclusive enough, but when it comes to Thanksgiving and seeing our probably older relatives, it is no longer sufficient, which is kind of funny and, you know, pretty see-through in my opinion. It's made all the more funny by the fact that I don't see anything about people not doing Black Friday shopping for the same exact reason. No, not one single article from any major news outlet or smaller independent news outlet about how you should not go in-person shopping due to minimizing the spread of the virus. And this is kind of the same thing, kind of pathetic. We saw the same thing when it came to the lockdowns and how people need to stay home and minimize the spread. And at first it was like, okay, that's reasonable. You know, it's going to be painful, but if we nip it in the bud, you know, maybe we can sort this out and it won't become a year and a half long issue. And then it was, oh, well, racism is also a, you know, a pandemic. It's a health crisis. And it is perfectly fine to go out and protest rigorously. And, you know, the whatever cost might come with going to these protests and maybe spreading the virus, well, it's worthwhile because of what's going on. Which, fuck the government and fuck mainstream media for trying to tell people when or when they can't protest. I'm all for protest. People should protest every day. I don't support riots, but protest, yeah, make people nervous for sure. And that was pretty wild to see that these health officials coming out and saying, well, yeah, we support these protests. And then, you know, a few weeks later, people were criticizing Trump for having events that they called super spreader events, which is, I'm not seeing the difference. Some of those riots and protests are pretty densely populated events, and people are much less than 6 feet apart. So, I don't. There seems to be a lot of flip-flopping on that issue, and it seems so obvious that people are only screaming about it when it seems to benefit their agendas, which of course is nothing new. But what strikes me sometimes is how obvious it is. And now we've had some talk about some vaccines coming out, I believe from Moderna and Pfizer, and they seem to be pretty effective, allegedly. I haven't seen any like hard papers come out on that, and really just more or less press releases. I could be wrong. Maybe I should dig a little deeper, and that will be interesting. I think it's pretty reasonable for people to be concerned about how quickly the vaccine was created. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, obviously. I'm pro-vaccination. But it seems reasonable considering the fact that the average vaccine start to finish takes about 10 years to create, according to what webpage was that? It was a government website. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. Yeah, I can't find it, but you can find it for yourself. Feel free. So if you speed up something and take a tenth of the time, speed it up by 90%, like that's... It's, at that point, it seems pretty reasonable to say, hey, maybe we rushed this. Maybe there's something we overlooked that could potentially cause, you know, some adverse health effects. Like, vaccines are not perfect. A lot of them are pretty damn good, but there have historically been vaccines that cause health problems. I was reading about one yesterday about varicella vaccine, causing pneumonia and a non-negligible amount of people when that first came out. And there are other instances too, I'm sure. I haven't read about them, but it's seems to be a given that vaccines are not perfect, especially when they're in the beginning of development and implementation. You know, they get better just like any other technology does. So that seems unreasonable, but people who raise this claim seem to be wholesale written off, and I don't understand that. They especially seem to be written off by by the left, even though the left, last time I checked, was the party of science and reason and critical thinking. But that seems to be not so much the case, especially for stuff like this. It's a very far cry from saying I'm concerned about how fast this vaccine was rushed and saying, like, I'm not going to take a vaccine at all because it's a conspiracy and, you know, it's going to purposefully kill people or injure them or whatever. I don't know. I have plenty of fun with conspiracy theories. I have no problem saying that, but I don't buy into 99% of them. That one doesn't seem to make a lot of sense either. It is not in Pfizer's best interest to make a shitty vaccine. Primarily because they stand to profit a great deal from it. Especially if it becomes one of these ones that sticks around for a large portion of time, like, you know, the flu vaccine. And people are taking it basically every year. That's a lot of money for them. That's a whole new cash cow. It is not in their best interest to make something shitty that's going to kill people. I think there's been some talk about some incoming Biden staffers about potentially having another lockdown. I hope that's not the case. So I feel like it's been really hard on people. My wife and I and most of my close family have been exceedingly lucky about being in necessary jobs or jobs that can stand to be done remotely for the most part, which I'm endlessly thankful for. When the lockdown started, I worked at a pharmacy, and we were open through all of that, and our business increased. And then I was without work for 2 months, 3 months, and then I got my current job, which is at a laboratory, a private laboratory which does drinking and wastewater testing. So it's pretty high up there on the necessity scale, you know, closely following behind doctors and firemen. So again, I'm thankful for that, and now my wife is a PhD student, so her stipend isn't going anywhere. My parents are farmers, and their demand does not dwindle, luckily, so I'm in a good place. But I 100% appreciate the fact that lockdown is going to spell financial and psychological disaster for a lot of people, and I really hope it doesn't come to that. I've said from the beginning that masks and lockdown should be, you know, personal choice. And a lot of people will have what seems to be reasonable arguments against that. Mainly the fact that it's not right morally for you to you to be able to endanger someone else's health, i.e. if someone else is wearing a mask and I'm in a store and I'm close proximity to that person and I'm not wearing a mask, I am therefore endangering their health. And I don't want to get nitpicky about whether or not I'm actually endangering their health based on the mortality rates of COVID, which are inarguably low. A lot of people would say you shouldn't be able to do that. And I agree. That's not the point that I disagree on. But if both lockdown and mask wearing, and this can be said for vaccines as well, if they're going to be personal choice, then let's say, for example, I need to go to the grocery store, and I'm pro-mask. I wish everyone was wearing a mask, and I'm going to be wearing one. And I go to that store. That store can very easily advertise or post on their front door, hey, we do or do not require masks. And there will absolutely be businesses which are catering to both sides of that issue. There will be restaurants and businesses that are like, hey, we want you to wear a mask. It is within our right to turn you away if you are not wearing one. And I agree. It's totally within their right. It's private property. It's their business, 100% their prerogative. And if you don't like that, tough luck. go to a restaurant that doesn't require a mask if that's a hill you're willing to die on. Mask wearing is personally not a hill I'm willing to die on, but that's just me. I'm not in the business of telling other people how to live their lives. And that will be the case across anywhere you ever needed to go and anything you needed to do. Probably to include working. And again, if a business owner is going to require you to wear a mask, then I guess you got to do it. Because that's not discrimination. So they can absolutely tell you to wear one or fire you. All of this is not to say that I find mask criticism a reasonable argument. I don't think it is. You know, these so-called liberty infringements, whether you want to talk about masks or lockdowns or mandatory vaccines, should that ever happen, are all on a gradient. They're all on a sliding scale. You know, they should all not have equal footing on the hill they're willing to die on. You know, there's a big difference between having to wear a mask and having to take a potentially rushed vaccine, which can make you ill afterwards. Like, those are two very different things with very different, you know, consequence gradients. But even still, I think a mandatory lockdown, I think there will be absolutely a lot of pushback from people who said the first time around that they would go through with it, you know, just to get this stuff over with. And now that home plate seems to be moved more and more frequently. First it was 2 weeks on the curve, and then it was lockdowns, and then it was, you know, you can't go to the gym, but you can riot. And it was, you shouldn't go to Thanksgiving and see your 93-year-old grandmother. And I think a lot of people are pretty reasonably fed up with that. You know, the goalposts seem to be moving with considerable frequency. And I think there will be a lot of pushback if another mandatory lockdown comes around, especially in Republican states, in the South. People are going to, you know, if I had to, they're going to fight to no. And it will be kind of, and the people, and there will, I think, be a lot of people who said, for the first lockdown, I can't afford this one either. Especially people in service industries, people whose jobs very easily go away when the economy isn't doing great. People suffer, for example, movie theaters and whatnot. And that will suck. I will feel really bad for people. That will hurt my heart for sure. But a lot of consideration doesn't seem to be given to those people. I hope at the very least a mandatory lockdown comes with regular stimulus. I know, well, I should say I'm very torn on that, because stimulus and the whole printing of money is something I'm pretty vehemently against, as a fan of sound money and Bitcoin specifically. But you can't, it doesn't even seem to be constitutional to begin with to mandate that people stay in their homes at all, in any context whatsoever, much less the context of a virus that objectively does not kill a high percentage of people. That being said, I feel like if there's going to be mandatory lockdowns, it better come with regular money for people who desperately, desperately need it. This past month or two, and especially the past few weeks, have really exacerbated an issue that already existed, which was the fact that the 24-hour news cycle and a constant stream of quote-unquote news makes it damn near impossible for anyone to stay abreast of anything. Like, it's, you're already asking a lot to ask the average blue-collar worker to come home and watch a lot of news and watch it from various sources. And it seems to be entirely out of the question to ask that person to spend, you know, additional amounts of their free time to get on the internet and do deep Google dives on things and come up with really, really well-formed opinions about stuff. Like, there's no way anybody can do that unless you are a full-time sociopolitical commentator or journalist or reporter. You know, there's no way to do that. And I feel like people in the mainstream media are capitalizing off of that, literally, by just feeding people bite-sized chunks, assuming that they're not going to have the energy or the gumption to look it up and fact-check it. And so we resign ourselves to a bite-sized, economy. And it will not end well. And I think that's one of the main driving factors of all of the divisiveness or alleged divisiveness between people. I mean, whether or not people are actually that divided is, I think, very much up for debate. Because Twitter is not real life and neither is CNN. But I think that will be a long, slow grind downwards. I think there's going to have to be some pushback against this. Personally, I've been kind of surprised that, considering how much complaining is done, mostly on the right, but also some on the left with some reasonable people, about the fact that someone has not come up with, you know, a better news propagation strategy, you could call it. I don't see anyone coming up with independent journalism that writes an objective as possible article and gives copious amounts of sources and doesn't, you know, tries their level best to stay out of the argument and report hard facts. If that exists, by all means, tell me, and I will promote the hell out of it. But I don't see that being done. Just like all the people who complain about how toxic Twitter is, make a better one. You know, or pay someone to make a better one, incentivize a better Twitter. But that may be, you know, a podcast topic for a later day. But that being said, I think we'll call it good here. If you've listened this far, thank you so much. I appreciate it. If you would like to reach out to me, I would encourage it. I am on Twitter at LeibnizWasFirst. And I also have a website which you can feel free to interact with at thomasedgman.com.